right. Welcome to the podcast. We are back on the guest train. So what we're trying to do is have guests on as often as possible and really just feature our members and all their cool stories. And this week we have Tuesday Spangler. She has been a member with us on and off since 2014.
13.
Okay. Okay. I thought I was close. Moved away for a while and then has been back for a few years, and she's phenomenal member, like a real model member, here. She's at the gym every day, mid morning, puts a smile on my face. And then she's got a really cool story and just like what her line of work is and everything. It just like, it really intrigued us, and we wanted to kind of have her on and just kind of talk about her story, how it relates to CrossFit and all of that. And, you know, if you could just start us off, like, you know, you could give us a little background, like, you know, growing up, like where you're from, maybe, and then eventually how you kind of led into CrossFit and your job and all of that.
Sure. Yeah. It all wraps together. So holistic health. Back in 2013 is when I started. And I only remember 2013 because I trained with Kate to do my first marathon because I thought I could never run a marathon. So that's the only reason I remember 2013. But growing up, my mom unfortunately had 5 kids by the time she was 22. So she had a set of twins, boy, a set of twins. And so, you know, 5 kids by 22, we kind of grew up with her. And unfortunately, she struggled with addiction, alcoholism, and that kind of ran rampant through my family. And so actually in 2013, the reason I was training for a marathon was in honor of my twin brother who had passed away due to addiction. And so throughout that, my family did drugs. I was always afraid to drink, never tried alcohol until I was 22. And so I ate my trauma. So I was 260 pounds when I graduated high school. And that's when I kind of started my fitness journey of, okay, this isn't the life that I want to live. Grew up not having any sort of like healthy food or veggies or anything like that. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to become a vegetarian. I'm going to learn to like veggies. I didn't grow up with this. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just going to try it. And then when my twin brother passed away, I decided to run a half marathon with Kate. Found CrossFit Grandview because one of my friends at the time, you know, he's Italian, he lived in Columbus, and he was like, we got to do a Tough Mudder. And I was like, yeah, we're doing all these mud runs and I'm getting healthy. I'm finding healthy people in my life. Because, you know, I grew up with a bunch of drug addicts, never feeling like I fit in. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to become a phys ed teacher. Like now that I'm getting healthy, I'm losing weight, I understand how to do all these things. I'm going to be a phys ed teacher. And then I was training for a half marathon. And so my friend was like, let's go to CrossFit Grandview. It's the best gym in Columbus. I've done all my research. I've done all this. And we walk in and Kari's in there doing like pregnant 280 pound back squats. And I'm like, this chick, this is who I want to be like. Like, she's amazing. And like, how do you do that? And so my friend actually quit CrossFit as soon as we did our Tough Mudder. He was like, you are crazy. That CrossFit, I ain't doing that. I'll continue running. I was like, you're nuts. Why would you run for 3 hours a day? I'm going to go throw some weights around. And so I just fell in love with CrossFit, you know, just doing it ever since. And I moved out to Colorado because I started Adventure Therapy. So that's kind of where my career piece comes in. So for me, I used to go to church on Sundays, aka I'd go hiking every Sunday. That's just how I connected with the outdoors. Because to me, it's very important, especially if you grow up with a lot of trauma and, you know, dysregulated nervous system. So I'm in mental health now. I'm a certified clinical adventure therapist and I have my master's in social work. And so I do adventure-based therapy with clients. So I kind of found my healing in the woods with nature. And so I decided with losing weight, I started running. And I was like, okay, I want to work with inner city youth. I want to show them that like you can live. I graduated from South High School in the south side of Columbus. And I was like, you know, you can grow up in these areas, find amazing people along the way that can like just support you and help you kind of come out on the other side. And there's a struggle with, even when I first came to Grandview, I was like, I don't fit in. I was like, I'm not one of these people. Like, I can't afford. I mean, at the time, honestly, I was paying for my membership on a credit card. And I was like, I'll figure it out later. I love this community. I want to be a part of it. And so now in my private practice, I just work with a lot of folks who have addiction issues. Because it's funny, I swore I'd never work in addictions because I grew up with a family full of like, oh my God, this is chaos. Nobody wants to get better. So my brain back then thought, nobody wants to get better, right? That, you know, nobody, whoever doesn't understand addiction doesn't understand when you're. Right. So it's like, just quit. Well, it's not that easy. And so actually when my twin brother passed away, I was already doing, I found adventure therapy at Camp Mary Orton. So I was like, I'm just going to teach phys ed. This is great. And then I found adventure therapy and I was like, wait a minute. I can be outdoors doing high ropes courses, camping with people.
Did you practice? Did you teach phys ed for a while?
I did, for a year. So
okay, just for a year.
Yeah,
okay.
So yeah, I taught in Columbus Public for a year.
Cool.
And then, you know, with phys ed jobs, you have to wait around forever if you want. I wanted to work with middle school and elementary. Yep. You have to wait for those jobs forever. And so when I found adventure therapy, I was like, whoa, wait a second. I can just be outside every day. I don't want to be in an office anyway.
Yeah. I feel like the phys ed teachers who get those positions hold on to them for like 30 years too. Yes. If they're meant for it, because that was kind of my experience growing up. Those guys stayed there for.
That's what prevented. So that was my degree. And that's what prevented me from getting in was every school, you know, I was always looking at schools. And I was literally walking into offices and like handing them like resumes all over Columbus. And every school had like a teacher who had been rooted in for like 15 years. And they're like, I'm not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So then you're like, do I want to sub for another 10 years waiting for a job? No. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was the pivot into adventure therapy.
Cool.
And actually my boss at the time, she was like, are you sure you want to do this? Because they needed a therapist over the summer to help. And I wasn't a therapist, but since I was a teacher, they're like, hey, can you co-coordinate these adventure therapy groups? I was like, absolutely. And within the first week, I was like, done, going back to my master's, I'm pivoting. Yeah. This is what I want to do. And so then I started taking clients out in the wilderness. So like House of Hope, which is an addictions treatment here in town, sober living. And the amazingness that you can take clients out in the woods. And I took out this group and this guy after getting lost, because we'd say, okay, here's a map, here's a compass. We'd get dropped off at High Banks because we had special permission to be off property. They were really only 5 miles from camp.
Yep.
But if they paid attention and learned how to use it, we could get back in 3 hours. Otherwise, it's like a 10-hour adventure. And the cool thing about adventure therapy is you put clients in a situation. We show up however we show up in all our scenarios in life. We just have no awareness around it. And so you can say to them, hey, you guys keep getting lost. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to regroup, look at the map, figure it out? Or are we just going to keep arguing, fighting? So you talk about the what, the so what, the now what. And so the idea is they can gain insight into their behaviors a lot quicker. And so I had a client who had been a roommate with this guy for 2 years. And I got him lost hiking. We went through this adventure. We came back. We cooked a fire around a campfire, had an AA meeting. And he just opened up about all this abuse that he had experienced. And his roommate comes over and he's like, how did you get him to talk about all that? I was like, I didn't do nothing. I created an experience where all y'all felt safe, connected, secure, and it just came out. And so that's why I started to love adventure therapy, because I have an office in Clintonville. Someone can come in and talk to me, you know, for 3 weeks at a time, whatever, 3 months. You don't get nearly as much. You go hiking for an hour with someone in the woods and they will open up about everything because they just feel relaxed. It doesn't feel like you're clinically trying to like get in my brain. And so it's like, okay, you know,
let's go for a walk. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She got me again.
I think it's also easier, at least for me, like when I'm in these therapeutic situations, to not have to look at someone and make eye contact and worry about the reaction to what I'm saying. Like I always lay down, put like a towel over my face. I'm like, hey, I don't want to look at you. Like I need to kind of just like go within. And it's really because you start to second guess what you're saying about yourself or how do I sound? So and being outside too, like you said, that's really, really neat. So do you do something different with each person?
So I try to do what we call a client-centered approach, right? And so I work with a lot of neurodiverse college students, so ADHD, you know, addiction. And the idea is like, what really interests you? You know, so when you come in, I'm not like a one size fits all. It's really, so I have one kid, he loves climbing. So we go to the climbing gym. That's where we do a lot of our therapy.
Yeah.
We're outside at the Audubon climbing wall.
Yep.
And so we can just work through some of his anger and some of his social anxieties or his perfectionism, right? Because that shows up on a climbing wall the same way it would in other areas of your life. I have another kid that loves paddleboarding. So every summer, that's our session. So I essentially do like an adventure day. I'll choose whatever that activity is, and then clients will meet me out wherever that is every like hour and a half. So one kid, he just loves running little race cars. He's actually a genius. He can build all these things. So he'll build stuff, bring it to session, and then we just go outside and like burn it around the neighborhood and hang out. One girl loves thrift shopping. And so she's a college age student. And so she came in the other day and she's like, I don't feel like sitting here in the office today. Can we just go to the store? And I was like, yeah, sure. If that's what you know you want to do. Now there are ethical things around that, right? Some people would say, you know, what do you do when you're in public and a client's sharing? It's like, well, you have informed consent from the client. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everything within ethical boundaries. But the idea is, especially when working with addiction clients, you know, folks get shamed and then they hide. because of their addiction. So the reality is, how do we get you back out in society and like feeling okay with yourself? Yeah. So it's kind of the idea of.
Have you guys ever seen Taxi Cab Confessions that used to be on HBO?
Yeah,
you guys used to watch that show? So all it did is it just reminds me of that. What you're saying reminds me of that show because people were really disarmed with that. You know, they weren't, again, looking at the driver face to face. They were very relaxed and they didn't feel like they were in,
see this person again too. So they're like,
you could tell they were just disarmed and it was like, they would just spill everything out. And, if you guys ever have a chance to like go back, and I'm sure it's on like Max or something, that show was really good. Like, because people, it was like a therapy session. These drivers would just go back and forth and people would tell the craziest, like it was like a therapy session, but it just reminded me like what you're doing is this way that like disarms people, right. You know, and that's what that did in that way. And it just really like, I grew up like watching, I was kind of like watching HBO and like my parents would go to sleep and, you know, I'd turn that on, you know,
sneaking in to watch.
Yeah. So I would just, you know, watch that. And like, I mean, I watched all of those. So a lot of people that is probably off their radar, but it was like mind blowing when you're like 12 to like watch that stuff. But as soon as you started talking, it brought me right back to that and the ways that like disarm people. And that's so cool in a way where I've been in therapy sessions before or talked to, you know, trying to talk through things, and it can be really challenging, you know, and to have like, if you were just doing something that you really enjoyed it, I could see how that could really help.
What do you think of
when you were saying when you're saying like a, you know, adventure therapy, it's like not everything has to be like a 3-day hike or excursion thing. Like it could just be a simple task that gets you, that you like, that breaks you out of your shell a little. I think that's a great approach to therapy because like you were saying, sometimes, especially if it's someone new, it might take a number of sessions going in a room before you really can just get right into it, right? The first couple of times, it's just like sitting on a couch or, you know, table and getting to know someone. Then after a while, you can get right into it when you've got you've got the ball rolling a little bit. But just like that idea of just, all right, let's pick something you like doing that kind of gets you kind of mindlessly in an activity and I can just kind of spill my beans as I go. That's interesting.
Well, and what we're talking about, right, is just creating that safety container where someone can feel comfortable, their nervous system is regulated, and they can share. If you think about it, like, I can't share if I'm feeling dysregulated and I think you're like, you know, assessing me and I'm in this like stark room. Like if you come in my office, there's like plants everywhere and like, you know, all kinds of like quotes, and it looks like someone's living room. There's like a fireplace and it's like, you don't want it like, I like this for a recording studio, but like this would be terrible for therapy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And you would be surprised when you walk in that it's just like, you know, I don't have my degree on the wall. It's in my lobby, but I don't want it in my office. Cause to me that feels like, oh, it takes a step down approach. And I want my clients to really feel like, not that I'm a friend, but as if they're talking to a friend, that comfortability level. And so the only thing to do is to kind of create that environment for that person to thrive in that. And then they can do that therapeutic work. But you can't do that work if the person doesn't feel regulated, safe, or securely attached to the person they're doing the work with. So all of your interventions can be thrown out the window, kind of like with fitness, where if you don't connect with that person, you're never going to get anywhere. So really, your first few sessions are just creating a secure attachment with your client.
Mm-hmm. Really neat. So do you work with primarily children, or do you work with adults? Or?
So I've kind of shifted. I worked with kids early on because, you know, as my experience growing up, I was like, adults are nutty. Never mind. I'm working with kids. And then as I've gotten older, and, you know, I'm over 40 now, and it's like, yeah, I actually just like working with adults because it's just a lot more work, meaning you have to follow up with parents, working with the kid, and just a lot of extra things that as I get older, I'm like, I don't want to do those things. I just want to kind of come in and go and have, you know, so we're 18, I have more autonomy to just show up at a session, you know what I mean? Versus having to like coordinate everything with younger kids.
Yeah. Do you do primarily one-on-one, or do you lead a lot of retreats or work with groups?
So right now I'm currently doing primarily one-on-one, and then we're working on retreats because actually a friend and I are building a property right now eventually. So that's down the works. We'll let folks know about that. But a retreat in the woods, just because I'm a firm believer in the healing of the outdoors, and we aren't connected enough to the outdoors anymore. Everyone's on their screens or on computers, you know, they're connecting that way. And so I fully believe in getting people back outside. So I've done group therapy, individual, residential treatment. outpatient. And so now I'm just doing my own private practice that I've been doing for 4 years. And there needs to be groups up and running. Again, it's just a lot of work for right now. So I have groups on hold and just doing individual. I do some couple sessions and family sessions. So I've taken families out like hiking for the day, or, you know, I had a family where this little kiddo was 8. They'd never had a campfire because they live in the city. And I was like, oh, we're going to go have a campfire. We're going to sit around a campfire, make some s'mores. And it was amazing because the one little boy's like, I've never done this with my dad. And so see, I'm like the outdoors. And now they actually have a fire every once a month because they kind of started that tradition. And so it's just really exposing folks to these things because a lot of families are so busy, or couples, they don't have that quality time to just like stop and connect with the outdoors. And if you just give them the space, all of a sudden, if you model it, they'll just do it. So people just need exposure.
Yeah.
Columbus, especially, like to your point where you were talking about going to High Banks, like outside of that, there's some different parks and things, but it's, you know, we're not in Colorado, right. You know, where you're looking up at mountains and things like that. You know, you're looking at like Morse Road and
right. But then it's just finding those places, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, for example, Park of Roses. I don't know if you go there very often, but there's like a little ravine and there's a trail along the path. And so it's really just being willing to explore where are those outdoor spaces and exposing people. I had a kid once, he'd never been, I don't know if y'all are familiar with those corn statues in Dublin. I don't know what that park is called. They're just giant corn statues. He was like, I've never been to that park. Let's go. So we just moseyed on up there. I was like, all right, let's check it out. We get there and he's like, this is kind of disappointing. I was like, well, it's in our installation. What were you expecting, dude? It's just like corn. But then it was just cool to see his reaction of, all my friends posted this online. It looks so cool. And I was like, and now we're going to talk about how things online look in comparison to real life. Yeah. And so to me, that's kind of the beauty of when you have this perception, then you go experience and you realize, oh, wait, I'm not actually, either I am or I'm not missing out on something. But we don't know it unless you're willing to go into it with them. And, you know, in normal therapy, I can say to you, you know, hey, go do this. But I don't know if you're actually going to go do it. And so if we go do it together and we are in that experience, now I get to see like, okay, you're making these steps. I mean, people do stuff outside of therapy, but you get what I mean? It's folks who are afraid to take that leap. It's like, I'll just go with you. Let's figure it out. And it's like, oh, you're willing to walk along with me.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It made me think of when we're in the Turks and Caicos, which is the most beautiful beach I've ever seen or been to, but they have these like clear glass boats, and then they have these services where a guy will like fly a drone, and it's always like these women are like laying in it, and they have a drone and they're in like a bathing suit, and so you'll walk by and see it, and they're flying this around and they're making it look different than it really looks in real
life. It looks really uncomfortable. I've seen a couple.
Yeah. I'm like, this is not a fun thing to actually be doing, but you can tell like what they're doing. Like, this is going to make a really cool video.
Right.
And then they're going to put it on their, you know, Facebook and Instagram, and it's going to look cooler than that experience actually is, where it's like, you're laying on this like plastic boat, like for an hour and a half, like pretending to have a drink.
Yeah.
I think the whole family dynamic of therapy really interests me. And I think just like, you know, going kind of working through this stuff myself right now and kind of going back through my childhood and all the childhood trauma and like healing your inner child work. I just think it'd be really interesting to take like a family out on like in a sort of outdoor excursion to help them have them figure things out. Cause you're going to just see so much and learn so much from that.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And working in adventure therapy, it's kind of why I moved out to Colorado. Actually, we were doing adventure therapy here. And it was outpatient. So I would run like 6 groups a week with middle school, high school kids, elementary. And we would just do like high ropes courses, orienteering, climbing wall, all kinds of just like problem solving activities that are supposed to, right? If I have a bunch of ADHD, oppositional defiance boys, how do you work on that? Okay, I'm going to give you this activity that I know is going to ignite some anger and conflict, but then it's how do we work through it? And so intentionally teaching them in the moment. And so out west, we would do that. We would go out into the woods with families. And so I worked in a residential treatment center for kids with addiction. And so we would take the kids out for a week at a time. So we'd go out in Utah and hike around for a whole week and camp out. Like, hey, here's your stuff. Let's figure it out for a week. You know, and then their families would come out and do a weekend. So that's actually how I started doing family therapy, because when they're in residential, their families would come out for a whole weekend.
Okay.
So they would put the families through the experience. So they would get to camp out with them. And it's like, oh, here's what you're experiencing. And so they have their lens on their kid at home, right? they act different when they're outside that environment. So parents really got to experience that and say, oh, here's how you're learning and here's what's going on. I actually never knew you could do that. My lens is you're just a pain in my butt, right? But yeah. Here you're like a leader and like you're doing all these things, and how cool is that? And so for me, it really gets to pull the parent in to like experience that with them. Whereas a lot of times it's kind of done separate.
Yeah. I was online for some reason looking up some different camps. I think Brandon has a cousin who moved out west, and they have some of these camps for kids. And I was like, oh, this is super neat. And I saw some different ones kind of like where you send your kid out for like a week or two, and then you go spend some time with them. Is that kind of what you have in mind, what you're doing here with some of your group stuff?
Yeah, except what I'm going to do is, yes, I want to just do weekend getaways, like weekend family recharges, right? Like, yeah. How can we get away from the city into the woods and just connect as a family?
So neat. Because I have to let us know when you do that.
Absolutely.
I want to sign up. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's just, we don't have the spaces for that anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And because, you know, adventure therapy, if you pay attention to any of the news, there have been some like places out west that are doing unethical things and they're being closed down. And so now it's getting like a bad rap. And unfortunately, I've been in the field. 2010 is when I started my master's with helping our therapeutic adventure professional group, which is a part of the Association for Experiential Education. We actually started working toward credentialing for the field to say, hey, no, this is legitimate therapy. And when done appropriately, it's amazing. And it's actually really good work. And so now there's a certified clinical adventure therapist. So if folks have their master's, they can take classes and actually become certified. So that way we can make the field more, you know, ethical,
right,
per
right.
se. And so it's unfortunate because if you Google adventure therapy, you could get like the whole gamut. We know how the internet works these days, right?
Yeah.
And so but then you don't always get the success stories of folks.
Right. You know? Well, I'm sure there's more risk associated with that than just sitting in an office. But I mean, there's probably more reward.
I was actually going to say that. And a lot of folks are like, I'm like, yeah, but the risk is worth the reward. As long as you know, you're doing things ethically and you're recording things and you inform people of their risk, right? In adventure there, it's always challenged by choice. It's never, I'm going to make you do this. It's, are you comfortable with it? You know, how fast do you want to go through this? If it's scary, let's talk through it.
Well, it's used oftentimes to help, you know, troubled teens, right? And that's where they're running into issues where they're like, it's kind of like, hey, we're going to straighten you out sort of places. And that's where I remember hearing, like, I think Paris Hilton, some people were like speaking out on him. And I'm sure overall, like the whole goal from the outset was very positive. And then they can evolve into like, you know, you get some bad technicians in there and things like that who were just, yeah. So I get it. And it's, I think that overall it sounds like the best, like one of the best things you could ever do for a teenager, you know, who's in a situation like that, like with the horses and things like that.
Oh yeah.
It's really awesome.
On therapy, it's so amazing. Like, it kind of reminds me of CrossFit, right? People will initially, CrossFit's bad for you. Like, it's not bad for you if you're doing things right.
Yeah, no, exactly. Anything that's difficult, people like to find something wrong with it, right? It makes them uncomfortable.
Or if it's out of the box or it's right. different or they right. don't understand it. It's like, I don't understand it, so I want to say it's not right. good. Instead of, well, once you experience, you're like, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So have you shared this with your family? Like your whole adventure therapy, do you talk to them or have you brought it back to them to share with them at all?
Well, unfortunately, due to just my family dynamics, I mean, they know what I do and it is like, you know, it's funny actually, yes, because that family.
Sorry to put you on the spot. I was just curious.
You're okay. I was trying to calculate. Like, well, actually, yeah, because at family events, I'm the one that's like running all the activities with the kids and running around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you get experience in that way. But not necessarily because and my family was the outdoorsy one. Like they didn't, they're like, she's always in the woods, whatever. We don't know what she's doing. You know, we're in the city. And so I think growing up as a kid, we would go to Hocking Hills a lot.
Yeah.
But then everyone kind of doesn't go outdoors. So when you mentioned Colorado, it's funny. When I lived out there, every single client wanted to go hiking. That's all I ever did was hiking. In Ohio, what I realized is people don't want to do stuff in the winter. And so actually in the winter months, I'm kind of just in my office all winter doing therapy in person. And then once spring and summer hits, they're willing to go outside and do things again. And so it's kind of adjusting too. But no, my family, like they are aware what I do. They think it's cool. But they I'm the first one to go to college in my family.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of, I'm not as close with them as I would like to be.
Yeah. No, I get that. you know, I wish my family was more into like fitness, but it's almost like because I'm so into it, they're like, oh, we're going to just kind of do the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, cool.
Or when it comes to mental health, sometimes it's, yeah, it's your opinion and you do it. And then it's like, yeah, I think you know everything. And I'm like, no, you just asked my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's for her.
What's for dinner?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, no, I think, you know, this is really cool to just put on people's radar who are listening here, and if they have interest too, to, you know, so they're, what's the best way to get a hold of you? Like if someone was like interested in this or were new, maybe they had a kid or a relative or someone where like they felt like something like this could be a good fit.
And you are taking on children as clients or not right now?
Right now I'm not. I take high school, college age, yep, and then above. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, so they could just go to outdoorconnectionandcounseling.com and or just Google Tuesday Spangler and it comes up on Psychology Today. But I love introducing folks to adventure therapy. So anybody ever wants to talk about it or wants referrals, they can just shoot me an email, TuesdaySpangler@gmail.com or Outdoor Connection Counseling. Yeah. You can just Google and everything comes up there.
Yeah. Well, and you'll have to let us know when you get the retreat stuff put out.
It is in the, so we have like a tiny cabin built. We're building another one and it's only an hour and a half away. We were really hard to find a place because, you know, clients don't want to drive 3 hours, but an hour and a half is great. Right. And so, it's just, and we need a space for that. There aren't many here. And living out west for 5 years, there's tons of spaces. So it's kind of cool to live there to kind of get the, and to just to come back and be like, okay, here's how we can set this up.
Yeah. Really neat. Really, really cool.
Very cool. I think we'll wrap up right there. Tuesday, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Thank you.